Welcome to Mornings with Monsters.
Today, we enter the Feywild, or maybe parts of our own world that seem a little bit stranger than others. Something zips through a twisted forest, unseen, and ties your shoes together. Today, we are talking about the Quickling, a 2-foot, blue-skinned, long-eared, elf-like in proportion, tiny little fast guy. They have, like, long, long, wispy white hair in all of the depictions except for 4th edition. Kind of looks like they have a little like lightning coming from their eyes, which is weird. I'm not sure what's up with that.
Yellow lightning.
Yeah, they were saying that their eyes are like small, evil filled, dark like orbs with a spark of yellow light in them.
Yeah.
So that's, I didn't realize it would be lightning, but that makes more sense than anything else.
Oh, I was just going off of straight up what it looks like. I don't know if it ever said lightning, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't.
It makes sense, though.
It does make sense, yeah.
Yeah. They're fast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're so fast. Small and slender. Believed to, like...
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Blue. I didn't think about that.
One of the videos I watched, one of the guys uses a homebrew mechanic when you hit a Quickling in his campaigns, and he causes them to fall and coins to burst out of them.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Isn't it? I mean, like, come on. Like, you're just giving it to all of us. That's great.
Mm-hmm. No, it's wonderful. Yeah. We love it.
We do. We do.
Yeah, an evil elvish Sonic the Hedgehog is a great descriptor for this little guy.
Can we actually talk about that elvish characteristic real quick? Because in my research, I found more kin qualities to the brownie race.
Absolutely.
Rather
than are a sub-race of brownie.
Right, which I know that, but like also like even their physical beings look a lot more like a twisted version of brownies, like a fast evil version of brownies than they do like elves. I do, however, really love their hatred of elves, naturally. I just think that is great.
Aren't brownies a like subset type of elf, or like they share lineage with elves?
Kind of.
I heard that they're closer related to halflings than they are to elves.
Yes.
Oh, well,
The halfling was like a form of what happened to become a brownie, like after twisted by fey magic, or when the brownie was made in the Feywild, they used the brownie template, twisted it for the prime material, and gave us halflings from it.
Yeah, so? I saw brownie as a template in a lot of research.
Yep. And which I think makes more sense. Like, if you're thinking about how the planes got created, I don't actually think that it was from the inside out. Like, you know, like the Big Bang. I actually think that it was a de-evolution from the outside of the rings in when we look at the, like...
Not necessarily a de-evolution, but definitely, like... A breakdown of, I don't even know if it's a breakdown. It's
like
just
a siphoning, you know, like went from like these grand cosmic broad things down to very like specific iterations, like, you know,
embodiments of certain.
Yeah. Embodiment. Yeah.
I see that. And like that. Yeah. Cause if you embodiment, if you make an embodiment of everything that is in this universe in such a specific, condensed way, like, it's gonna be chaotic as fuck, i.e. the Feywild.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do picture, like, things like the Feywild and the Underdark, like, they came super, like almost at the same time, but still slightly after, if that makes sense.
Like, after the Prime?
Yeah. Like, not, like, I'm not even saying, like, oh, the prime material was around for like millions or trillions of years. And no, it's like, I just think that like it was more of like a chain reaction.
Well, time, like,
This
time
doesn't...
in the Feywild isn't the same as time in the Prime Material.
I guess I could see both options because it's said that, like, the Feywild and what's the other one that's, like, right next to the Prime Material?
Shadowfell.
Yeah, Shadowfell. They're, like, whereas there's, like, almost a separation between the Prime Material plane and, like, the other planes, like the Abyss or the Celestial Realm. The Shadowfell and the Fey Material actually touch Prime Material plane and other planes. And so I guess I could see both happening, either it becoming first and through the opposing forces on each side created the Prime, or because the Prime needed some sort of like magical out. You
that's
know, like,
fair. Yeah. Like what is
leaking out? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or leaking in.
Right. And that's where I think that it's like a slow leak of like the outside borders and they create more planes as like the energy like excesses or exceeds the quantities or whatever.
I guess what I mean is like I think at some point there had to have been somebody who made the connection closer. Something that made the connection closer, because I think like the reason that they touched the Prime Material plane is because some dumbass walked from one to the other and like found or discovered an open door or like created an open door.
I could see that
possible to like leak through.
Because I mean, we're thinking about fairies and stuff, and like they are notorious for changing reality. So they were just fucking around to find out. They might have done that
exactly because they're known to like trick you into like I didn't know this, like especially these creature quicklings are known to like throw their voices to like
I love that
master ventriloquist.
Yes, strange,
which I think is fantastic. I'm like, I had no idea. So I guess like, you know, if you're like a Feywild's creature, like a quickling, and you want to like have more creatures to fuck with because there's only really other super dexterous and like intelligent Fey like wild creatures in the Fey Wilds, you're like, let's trick some dumb adventurers into the Fey Wilds so I can mess with them even more than I can on the material plane.
It's true. Yeah, I can see that because like, I mean, even when we talk about demons, their whole goal is to get to the Prime Material plane because it's so much more satisfying for them to do that evil stuff that they want.
Yeah.
The things that are permanent rather than some little, you know, imp that they can squish 1,000 times and it's still going to come back.
Yeah, because they're in hell, and when they die, they go back to hell.
Right, exactly.
Essentially.
So like, seeing a bored fey, regardless of its power level, you know, that boredom in a fey can lead to serious shit, you know? I mean,
especially if they've already escaped the Fey Wilds, and it's like, the Fae's trickery in the Fey Wilds is only going to get to, like, I mean, like, let's arbitrary scale from 1 to 100. Like, their trickery can only, like, pass up to, like, a 70. Because, like, everyone else is smart enough or dexterous. Like, they're all on the same page.
That's
so
true.
Like, when they're able to, like, go to a different plane and just cause, like, immense chaos because, like, nobody knows what this thing is yet. Nobody, like... It's still like, it's just this, like, whether people even knew what it was because it's so fast, you can't see it.
So we talk a lot about the different planes and fey creatures and fey wild. And it makes sense to us because we have immersed ourselves in it. But I think we just give a quick little explanation of what the fuck we're talking about. For our listeners who have no idea what the Fey Wild is.
We've talked a little about it we talked like about Slod and the Modron.
True. I think specifically for Shadowfell and the Fey Wild, they operate differently from the other realms like Mechanus and all those. I kind of like to imagine it like you take a bubble, right? You blow a bunch of bubbles, and then all the random bubbles everywhere are the different realms, right? But the one big bubble in the middle... it has two equally as big bubbles connected to it, where you can kind of see that small area where they like kind of wibble wobble into each other, and they're constantly stuck to each other. Because we have Shadowfell, which is easier to describe because it's just it's kind of, both realms are essentially mirrored of the prime material. The Shadowfell is a shadow of the world, and the Feywild is where things get really fucking wild. It's both, it's like a mirror and opposite and the misunderstood version of the prime material, where things like time and consequence and whim either apply or don't apply in whatever ways that some chaotic forces want it to.
It's really fun because, like, you see that time and consequence get thrown for a loop because there is still a very strong measurement of time in the Feywilds, as is a very strong measurement of consequence for choice, because the rule of reciprocity is, like, such a huge theme in the Feywilds that to adhere, you can do many different things. And in that, that possibility reigns the chaos in which all Fey really thrive. But you still have to adhere or consequence happens. And, like, sometimes those are very dire and also live through the chaos that Fey do. And it's weird to know that, like, we have our prime plane and, like, all of those things, time, circumstance, you know, all of that, consequence, it's kind of subjective, really.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, it could make sense to someone whose brain operates differently.
Yeah.
And it makes sense to a lot of the Fey creatures.
Yep.
For our listeners, to kind of paint a picture, think literally Alice in Wonderland, where she falls through, you know, you can literally fall through a tree by accident. Yep. There's gateways that are just open. There's gateways that have secret passwords. There's gateways that... like,
need a spell.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, you can get trapped in them, and you're going to be greeted by crazy things, just like Alice in Wonderland.
Looking in a mirror can get you there. Yeah. You know, falling through a pond can get you there. Like, it's one of those things where, like you said, it's Alice in Wonderland or Narnia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's some of those things where...
They even reiterated it well with Stranger Things.
They did.
Fouling through whatever trees or portals.
Yeah, and having that, like, literally, like, the upside down. It's kind of similar in a way where it's a distorted version of the prime material.
Yep.
I will say the upside down is closer to, like, Shadowfell than it is.
I was going to say that, too.
Yeah, it's not.
But it still gives the people an understanding of how these things... while being other planes, they are very familiar to your own, you know?
Absolutely.
Like,
you're always going to look at things and, like, you're like, something, like, it feels like I know this place, but it also feels completely foreign.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you'll see something that, you know, it should be familiar or is familiar until a moment. Like, when we run through the Witchlight campaign that we're on right now, in the last chapter... they were walking through swamps and they saw this inn and they were like, okay, cool, whatever. It's an inn. But then, like, they realized when the fogs moved that there's, like, 100 human legs carrying the inn, as it moves around the swamp. Now, that is
Baba Yaga.
Terrifyingly gross, you know, like, but at the same time, you're struck by the familiarity first. And then you're also catching up to the fact that, wow, we are not where you should be.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Witchlight campaign, it is the first, I believe, first campaign to really utilize Quicklings.
Mm-hmm.
Because for our listeners, the Fey Wilds is where the Witchlight campaign does take place. And it is one that we are, Alex is running for some of his friends, and I do play in that one, and it's fantastic, and I highly suggest it, because it's so much fun, and it's also weird as shit, and it's a lot easier to run a campaign that's completely in the Feywild, because then, like we said, you're not worried about time.
Yeah, and also, it gives you, especially with a group of experienced players, it gives you ample opportunity to take the module, which is really well written. There's a lot that's prepared, but you can take that module and, instead of using it verbatim, structure it around your party and their decisions. Mm-hmm. We've been having so much more fun outside of the written doctrine from the school because
just as far as quicklings, I know that they do use quicklings in that storyline, yeah. And there's something that you can have a lot of fun with. Like if you're a mischievous DM, like you can have them do things like, you know,
or if you're a mischievous player,
just together, or you know? Like, I'm sorry, what?
I was just saying, yeah.
Yes, like you could play tricks on quicklings. Like,
or play tricks on other denizens of the Fae and try to befriend a quickling. You know, I mean, it's cool because like quicklings are evil from what the book describes and like from what that we see in their actions. But evil is a subjective thing. And
especially when you're in the player, Fae Wild.
Yeah, especially there. And then when you're also when you're a player, you know, most people who play in D&D aren't, you know, super villains sitting around a table plotting actual world terror. But show me a group of D&D players who at one point or another aren't goblins who murder everything. And I will be like, okay, that's an interesting table. But it's one of those things where certain players will find quick friendship with a quickling if they look for it, you know, and otherwise it'll be a very nice thorn in the side of your party.
So I would love to talk about the quickling being evil or not, but before we get too far away from the point of how the hell these quicklings came to be, why do they resemble both elves and brownies? Confusing, right? Well,
yeah.
The Feywild has two courts, the Seely Court and the Unseely Court, right? Without getting too much into the Eladrin and all of their business, I know you guys probably know more about this because you're more involved in the Feywild, especially being in this campaign, and I haven't done a ton of stuff in it. But as far as I know, there's like the two queens, Titania or whatever. And then the one whose name is never spoken, the god of air and darkness, or god queen of air and darkness.
Her name's Mab.
Yeah, her name's Mab, but
they just don't say it.
They never say
it. It's like Voldemort.
It's like Voldemort. Like you won't even find that in D&D lore. Like you have to draw that from other things.
Yep.
I'm not exactly sure how it translates over, but I like even Shakespeare wrote about the queen of air and darkness, like. There's So anyways,
he wrote a whole play about Titania and fucking the Seely Court. So like
So it's like that.
I see.
Yeah, so it's like that deeply rooted. So it's got a lot of lore from different sources and things like that. In the Feywild sense, the Queen of Air and Darkness is the she can embody the corruption that can be found in elves. And is basically like the reason, you know, that there's all these crazy versions of creatures that were once elves. You know, there's not the greatest histories or like accurate information from like certain things that started in the Feywild. And the Quickling is a great example of that because they're not 100% sure. They say that they may have stolen a book from an archfey and they were cursed. But the most popular thing is that they were either cursed or stole power from the Queen of Air and Darkness, and were cursed with both a gift and a curse of quickened lives. So they basically took their internal clock and cranked it up to max speed, and that's where you get the quickling. Not sure why they turned blue. It must have something to do with Sonic. The quickling cannot live past 15 years unless by magical means, which means that they mature by
one,
and they're considered an adult member of their society by two. And I think that leads to a very interesting concept that is starting to form as we talk about this in my brain, where their society, which is a structured society that's led by more of folk heroes, like stronger elders. So it's a little wild, but they do have like familial ties and things like that.
I feel like if you're in a family of quickling, your job if you want to be a leader of that thing, you have to just kind of disappear for random bouts of time and then come back and through your charisma convince the other quicklings that like you're stories, which might be cool. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're quicklings still. But you have to embellish them to the point of folk hero. And you're, like, sitting around speaking Sylvan at sonic speed and, like, embellishing this grand story that only, like, 40% actually happened. And then they just elevate you. Yeah. Whether you are faster or stronger or whatever, it might be so. I think that's it's more subjective.
Yeah, and you gotta, like, understand that these things are not living like we live. Like, they're watching rainfall like snowflakes. The lightning moves through the clouds at, like, a visibly slow pace. Like, everything's different for them. They move quickly.
Cool.
That means that their societal structures can completely change in the day. Because they're gonna have, you could, if you're moving that fast, you can have love, you can have loss, you can have murder, you can have conspiracy, and all of that, which normally in life can take months, years, that's happening instantly, all the time. And there, you know, you can have an entire uprising and a reformation within a week of, you know, different factions between them. So it is quite the opposite of what we normally discuss, which is like the concept of the eternal life. Or, you know, like the concept of the long life. It's concept of like living in the moment. You only got 15 years, and they hate to remember that.
Do you think that they're capable of long thought, like the longer lived races?
Well, they say that if you ask a quickling what happened last year, it's like asking us what happened 10 years ago.
That's right. So probably not.
That's crazy.
And they hate more than anything to be reminded of their mortality. Yeah. So they don't want to think about the future or the past. They just want to do what they want to do right now.
So speaking on the evil alignment of these kinds of fey creatures, like as far as like player characters, when I think of evil in terms of those types of characters, I don't take it as traditional evil. I just take it as blindly selfish.
Yeah, same.
Like, it's, there's
lacking very little empathy
where they don't even realize that there is another way.
Right.
Like, this is the only way to exist and do things is in this, what we know as human beings is an extraordinary selfish way to live. But, hey,
they're moving quick. Gotta go.
12 to 15 years. So,
well, I mean, it would seriously fuck up your mental state if you couldn't stay still for less than 10 seconds.
Oh, and they can't stay still. Even when they're like standing still, they're pacing back and forth.
Exactly.
Right.
Their version of standing still.
My favorite fact is that, like, if they were to listen to us right now on this podcast talking about them, they'd be beating their heads into the wall for how we sound like cows mooing.
We sound like cows mooing, and we're going too slow, and we're talking about their mortality. They would fuck with us.
They would hate us right now.
And the only people that they do like or that they will work with are generally creatures with even more selfish interests than the quickling. And they'll only work with those creatures or evil wizards to, you know, benefit themselves in some way. I didn't find too many instances of this specifically, but it does make sense. I know that in the Druid's books, there's the quickling that worked with the Baylor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that it was either forced to do so or was gaining some kind of personal benefit from it.
I mean, honestly, like, knowing what we do now, I feel like its benefit was to watch the Baylor just absolutely wreck whatever it was going at, you know? Like, it was either dark elves or the dwarves, I think, maybe, that were getting the shit from the Baylor at that time. And I mean, I can see the quicklings hating either one of them equally. Like, that's too long of life.
Exactly. they despise the long-lived elves, probably because they have what they don't. They call the quicklings consider them the longest lived and the slowest of all the races.
Yeah,
all the races.
I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, they are wild little things. Another fun fact about the quickling, which I think is super interesting and a little sad, is that their blood and body parts are used to make potions and enchantment based on speed.
Okay. Okay, but like, what in D&D isn't ground down for something
I know,
else?
I know. It's just, this is like the most specific that we've had. Like, yeah, like just take a quickling's blood, add like very minimal to it, and you have a potion of speed.
Yep, or ground down its bones, and you have the major component for a haste spell.
Exactly.
I think it's funny in the specifications, because you're right. Usually the ingredients are like, oh yeah, its eyes, scales, and teeth are usually used for spell components. And you're like, okay, but like, what kind of spells? You know, like.
And the problem with that is things like haste and speed are some of the most desirable things in D&D.
Yes.
Just because haste lets you do everything twice, essentially. Like
in one of our fights that we're only halfway through, my boss just cast haste on itself. So my parties are in for a treat.
Yeah. If you don't know, that's very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just feel like they go to work with these evil wizards and then they all die because he was really just capturing all the quicklings for haste scrolls. And
yikes. Ouch.
Yeah. Well, they're all
dude,
dead.
So maybe Zolo is actually like one of the worst people in the world. Just capturing all these things and like putting them through extreme circumstances to find out more about them.
It's
science.
I don't know, it rubs me the wrong way. It rubs me the wrong way in a similar like any show that is like, you know, you find out that these humans are only faking nice to like steal the other humans like bone marrow or blood or some shit. Like I feel like it's like a equivalent thing to that, and it just I'm like
Exactly. I'd be evil too.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, but like the actual quickling and their habits and their activity.
They're mischievous.
They all preceded and predated the information that we now know would make those spells. So like
that's true.
Fuck them quicklings, in my opinion. You know?
Just like
I think we'll talk about that more.
I'm like it's still just like it makes my skin crawl a little bit in the same way.
They're an oppressed race.
When it's such a specific, like, hey, we're going to take your body and blood and crush it and drink it and become fat.
Be really fast.
Yeah. But you wouldn't feel that way if it was just like some crabs on the beach that you use as shells for water breathing potions or something.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not sentient.
Would Graylin feel this way? Probably not.
Okay.
Like, would Svetla feel this way? Probably not. Melina just feels this way.
Essie would feel that.
And probably Aster.
Aster would... Okay, but Aster's
Aster
like...
Aster would grind down a quickling.
Actually, you know what? She might.
Yeah,
she
definitely would. all right. Well, there is a quickling that you guys currently are with, actually, in Vanguardians. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, fuck.
So now you know you can grind it down. Also,
well, I'm
now you know.
I guess we're gonna find a weird beer ingredient or two somewhere soon.
You're not getting haste.
We'll see.
Not for the weird beer. You have to work for it a little more.
All right.
Production death.
Oh boy. Okay. Last thing. Before we get into our prompt questions, I just wanted to mention where these things lived in the Feywild, because it is interesting to me personally. They do dwell in dark and evil places like broken badlands and fell swamps. They prefer isolation. Obviously, they don't like being reminded of their mortality, things like that. And they can also live in fairly dangerous places as far as like terrain or, you know, natural threats, because they're just fast enough to avoid them. Like if they're living on the edges of a swamp and there's quicksand everywhere and there's like, you know, fire spouts or whatever you would find in the Feywild, they're just fast enough. They don't have to worry about that. So they can live where other things can.
I feel like you were just listing the fire swamp things other than R-O-U-T-S's.
Yeah, I was.
The venue. Okay, that's what I thought.
I was, because they could live there.
They can very well.
And it's a little Feywild-ish. Come on.
It's definitely like the fire swamp from The Princess Bride, which is what he was
referencing. What are we talking about?
Because, like, it was my fucking favorite movie, guys. If you haven't seen it, go watch it, because it's amazing. And it's like, it's very like on par with like
just weird, weird magic.
Just fun, weird, like magic goofballness. Like,
I could see it being like, hey, we're playing D&D and this is like a movie version of our campaign.
Yeah, honestly.
In the D&D review, like there were moments in the movie of the D&D movie that I was like, this feels like the Princess Bride.
Yeah.
But anyway, I feel like it's closer to like the Fae Dark than the Fae Wild specifically. Yeah,
which they also live in. And the fourth edition, there's weird like little like badass golem looking creatures.
Yep.
They have little knives, and people are pretty consistent with saying, yeah, you can still use this as a version of the Quickling, because there's the Fae Dark and the Fomorians that oversee the corrupted versions of, you know, different kinds of Fae creatures.
And then just like any like other creature, your environment and your climate is going to depend, like,
100%. You
know, we're tan when we like live in sunny environments and not tan when we live in solid climate coverage. Well, it's like if they're living in the like Fae Dark, like it would make sense that their skin never developed the bright blueness, only ever like this drab gray.
Exactly. I mean, you have in the Underdark, you have dark elves who are
see it with dark elves, see it with dark
and gray dwarves and
deep
gnomes.
Exactly.
So
why the blue though?
Why do
I still don't get the blue?
So I kind of have a theory about it. If they were cursed by the Lady of the Air and Darkness or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Queen of Air and Darkness.
Yeah, like I could definitely see like having the blue be more of like a constant reminder. Like, you know, you might not remember things, you know, even a year ago, but you will understand anytime you look at yourself or another Quickling who cursed you and why. And like, it might be one of the only long memories that this race has, because it's something that, I mean, I would not want something to piss me off so much that I curse them like this and then they forget about it.
True.
I wouldn't want that, you know? And I mean, as a DM who currently has to think a lot about the mindset of an archfey, you have to do these things that may look subtle to a lot of people, but play such a huge part in a grand scale plan that you have had for who knows how many thousands of years.
Yeah, it could mean something to them.
Yeah, I would want everything I do to make sure that it emulates me in some way. Even if I'm the only one looking at it and seeing it, that's fine. I'm a, you know, 4,000 year old ridiculously powerful creature who can like bend reality. That's all I care about is me. You know,
or she just hates the color blue.
Yeah, true. You know, like,
or thinks it's the most ugly of colors or something.
Yeah,
because there's so much random whim.
I mean, yeah, we're talking about Fae.
Yeah.
Honestly though, because of like where they live, the blue could have been one of their like benefits, because I feel like because of living in like the Fae Wilds being that like color, that it almost like helps them blend in more,
like a natural camouflage almost.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm not saying that she did it to help them, but it's like
an accidental benefit.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
So like the Queen of Darkness, of Air and Darkness, like the like semi story is the Quicklings used to be a taller, lazier, egotistical race of Fae that were always late for summoning when they were summoned. So she transformed them into incredibly fast, like shorter, smaller creatures. So with like a shorter lifespan.
That's such a Fae story.
It is. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm thinking like, you know, she's like, well, you weren't doing the job, so I'm going to make you the perfect creature to do the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they do protect her now. Like the Quicklings are seen with her or protecting the black crystal that she turned into or whatever. I don't know if that's.
The black diamond was given to her sister, but
her sister was gone.
Yeah. And so she took it and it was filled with a corruption.
and it swallowed her up or something.
No, I don't think it swallowed her.
No, it just corrupted her. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how she became the queen of darkness or air.
And now she like holds it or something like that.
It probably corrupted her. Now that's driven her hatred and embodiment of the corruption of elves.
100%.
There's like a fly in my room or something just zipping around. I don't know. Keeps fucking with my shoes, but I'm wearing sandals, so.
I feel like it might be even messing with your mic settings, too.
It might be. It might be. I don't have my voice changer on.
That out.
Okay, I'm going to go deal with that, and we'll take a short break while I figure out what this really annoying buzzing is, and we'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back to another middle of the episode. I know it's been a little while, so sorry about that. We're getting things back on track. Make sure you let everybody know that we're back and ready for more monster information. Yeah. Make sure you email us at morningswmonsters@gmail.com. with any monsters you want us to talk about, or questions, comments, concerns, complaints, whatever, anything. And thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much to our artists. That's going to be at Mizzen Cake on Instagram. Check out their stuff. They did our cover art. And check out at Olava's Cryptid Craft, I think, on Instagram as well, just to check out some of their artwork. They're the ones we set up all the stickers that we have if you found us that way. So make sure you check them out and make sure you come back next week, because we'll be talking about something much, much bigger than a quickling. I can tell you that much. All right. Thanks, guys. I'll let you get back to the rest of your episode now. Enjoy and see you later. Welcome back, guys. I don't know if that was a quickling or not, because they're so hard to see and they have blurred vision, or what is it? Blurred movement.
Yeah.
It's one of their abilities. Okay. Friends or foe, and how would you do it?
Nope.
No. You want to be friends with a quickling?
Nah.
I thought you were already a friend with a quickling.
I mean, we might be.
Everything.
We might be, but like, I don't think I like that anymore.
Well. Sure. Things work differently in my world, or maybe they don't. Who knows?
And you know what? Evan's not racist against any sort of fae that we know.
They're
of,
all
so
weird.
It's all good.
No, I would for sure grind down its bones for potions of haste. I'd be so much more productive.
It'd be like ADD medicine in the fae wilds.
Oh my God.
So, like, I kind of imagine it like if the quickling was real, me personally, I would be able to be friends with it. Because I can be friends with all types of people, but God, they would be the worst kind of person. Like,
yeah.
Like, I guess they have evil and mischievous tendencies. I can get past that, but they're also, they'd probably be so, like, self-righteous and, like, so, like, everything's beneath me.
Yeah.
But also, simultaneously, could you imagine them being like that and also being, like, at any given moment, rarely, but still, to be like, but I can only live so long.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, woe is me kind of shit.
It wouldn't be woe is me.
Yeah, only if they're reminded, because once they're reminded, they think about it, and they probably would be.
Well, yeah, but, like, then, I think, honestly, though, I think that if you reminded them, they would get mad more than sad.
Yeah.
Because if they don't like being reminded of it, they'd probably be like, shut the fuck up.
Well, quick way to fucking egg on one to fight me because...
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not trying to befriend it. I don't give a shit.
Oh,
I don't think friend one either, but...
I'd be friends with it, and everyone would be like, why are you friends with that guy? And be like, because no one else is.
Literally.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Dylan would do that.
Yeah, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we were raised.
How would I do it? I think I could just literally just talk to it and befriend it. I don't think I would have a hard time. Like, if it gave me the chance to talk to it. I would talk as fast as I could so that it could understand me better. Just like, I guess. I don't know. Okay.
There's a spell for that, you know?
It's drugs. Not that I know. This one I'm excited to talk about. If you were to homebrew this monster, what would you add or change? And I have strong opinions.
Yeah, it needs to move faster in battle.
It needs to move faster in battle, but here's a problem with that, right? So all the YouTube videos say the same thing, right? If you break down its speed, it's only technically, if it's dashing, as fast as Usain Bolt, which doesn't make sense. Problem with that, right? If you triple it, quadruple it, like, you're not really fighting this thing. It's running off the battle map as soon as, you know, you encounter
that's
it.
That's true. That is true.
Which is fine, right? Because that's what would happen realistically, but, like, as players and DMs, we don't necessarily have things in the game that aren't meant to be interacted with, like, at all. I mean, there's obviously situational things where, like, yeah. But how do you fix it, right? There's no easy fix. I think I have an idea. I think I have a stat block idea that might be fun.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Okay. Right. Their speed on their stat block, 120 feet, right? 240 if they're dashing, which is a lot. That's about, most people's battle maps aren't that big. It's got blurred movement, so attack rolls against the quickling have disadvantage unless it's incapacitated. And it also has evasion. So for all you monks and rogues out there, you already know this. But essentially, it allows it to take zero damage if it saves on a dex AoE attack, or half damage if it fails. So pretty useful. It saved my life last night. And all that's great, right? But I want to give it a bonus action dash that doesn't provoke opportunity of attack.
Yeah, that's what I saw. One of the guys I saw a video talking about was like...
Oh, he said that? Damn, I thought it was an original idea.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Nope,
I think it's a great idea, though, because it's, like you said, like, it's not it just flat out doubling its speed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that would suck to be... like in an encounter, roll initiative, and then all of a sudden 480 feet disappear under this quickling's dash, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to zip into combat, strike you three times with a dagger, zip out of combat without you being quick enough to attack it, and have to think about how to resolve that. Because as a melee, or even as a ranged person, you might not have 400 feet, you know?
Things like have that like far of a range. Even like, I think my furthest ranged spell attack, which are going to be further than most ranged weapons, unless you're talking like heavy artillery on a ship or like something like that, is still only like maybe like 230, maybe.
Yep.
Even that, it might be less.
No, there's artillery on a ship is pretty damn long. It's like, it's like 800 or 1,000.
She's talking about her longest range.
Oh, sorry.
I meant range spell attacks. Like as like a personal one person player, like things on ships can be like you
over
can
1,000 feet. Yeah.
Like that shit is different. Like that's what I mean. Like taking out that or like a tank mechanic or something like that. Most weapons or spell attacks are only going to have a range of like 200 or less.
Yeah.
Like maybe 220 if you have like a really good like longbow.
Yeah, I think that the quickling can be a difficult encounter at any level.
Yeah.
Just because like if you hit it, it's dead. But make it really fucking hard for them to hit it. They're getting disadvantaged every time they're like, I think just adding that bonus of never being within attack range creates an element to the fight where they have to do something other than just hit things. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that for every fight.
Less of a battle. It's an encounter. It's a true encounter. It's less of a battle because like you can't really fight quicklings.
Not super effectively.
Not effectively.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put 10 of them there.
You're fucked. Yeah, I mean,
that's 30 attacks.
And they don't do CR1, which is what they actually are. They don't do CR1 damage. You know, they do, like, almost CR3 damage.
They have a +8 to hit.
Yeah, they're doing like on average like 24 damage.
Well, actually, they're. Well, yeah, so like they're it's 1d4 plus 6, but they get 3 attacks. And they also have a 23 in dex, which is literally like, anything over 20 is like god level.
It is. It's insane.
So they are like one of the most dexterous creatures, as I'm looking next to the Phoenix that's got a 26 in dex, like on the next page. But still, like for a tiny little 2-foot creature with 10 HP to have anything 23 as a base, that's nuts. Like even you guys in Vanguardians, what, level 12, like fighting these things could be difficult. I mean, if
It
there
would
was
be.
multiples of them and they have that range of mobility,
I've been
hopefully.
sitting here thinking about both of my characters and trying to think of tactics that they would run to fight a quickling effectively. Not just like blind luck, oh, I hit it,
Yeah.
but like I know I can hit this. And
I
I
know.
don't know. It's
Yeah.
hard.
I think maybe if I was playing my Way of the Long Death monk, I might be able to do something. But as my Vengeance Paladin, which is like a mobility-based paladin, I don't think he would. I don't know.
No,
He would have someone else would have to do something to stop him, or I would have to do some crazy non-fighting smart stuff.
I'd probably end up there's only one thing I can think of that might work, and it's Ebon's Stone Rune, because I think it's a reaction, which means that I can use it at the end of its turn. If we're thinking about it tactically, like Eben knows a lot about fighting. So the moment he smells blood, he might just do it, especially if it's a surprise attack when they're resting, which is when quicklings like to attack people.
Yeah.
He would use a stone rune and I force him into I think it's a wisdom save or a charisma save, and hope for the best, because like otherwise, what are you going to do? The stone rune will stop him. He's charmed, has zero movement speed, can't do anything. So from there, you can like actually restrain him with rope or whatever.
Crush his bone and turn
Yeah,
him.
yep. Cut his throat, drain his blood, crush his bones.
Yeah.
But like that's the only way, because all of Lorne's spells and Eben's regular attacks are just so slow.
Yeah.
It would have to be based on the end of its turn, because that's the only way, like a reaction would be fast enough, you know?
It would have to, someone would have to have a reaction.
Yep.
Exactly. And
Yep.
it's probably got to be like above 10th level character
Yeah.
and some
Yeah.
special
Because
reaction.
even
Like a
then,
feat or something.
even with my feet skill, which is where my stone rune comes, I don't think my DC is very high. It might be 15. Might.
Yeah.
That's a low DC for a fey creature. Like,
Yeah.
that's what's its bonus on wisdom or charisma?
Wisdom plus one, charisma minus two.
Okay.
You
So
just
yeah.
don't
We
want to
just don't
eat.
want to give it dex saves because it's got a
Yeah,
plus
no, I
six.
would never. I would never. I mean, there are things that I could do that would do that, but it would be like dumb of me. Yeah.
Yeah. But it gets bonuses to acrobatics, sleight of hand, stealth, and perception.
Fuck that.
Which is why you can't really like corner or surround it either.
Yeah, it's like
Yeah.
the epitome of a fey rogue right there, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think you're gonna be encountering this thing unless it really fucks up, because you're not even gonna see it coming.
Yeah, exactly. It'll do what it needs to do
Now
silently.
the only thing I can think of that might, and like this would have to be a table ruling, I think, because I don't know, because it doesn't say specifically if it would or wouldn't. But like there are spells that can pinpoint location of specific things, right?
Yeah.
So like something like Hunter's Mark or find fey fiend undead, stuff like that. Like I wonder if that would negate the blurred movement because you have a pin like a
Like for you
pinned location.
specifically,
Yeah, so
I would rule that yes, like your character, because like it would be an easier balance for only the character casting that type of
yeah,
buff.
to gain the advantage on it.
Yeah, and it would be, I'd be fine with that, because like you'd still have to convince your party that there's even something there,
Yeah.
you know?
I'm just looking to get rid of that disadvantage for the blurred movement.
Right. And I think that would be
Just like I know,
a big bonus for
like
you.
when I swing my hammer, I can tell it's gonna be here because of its movement, you know,
Yeah.
kind of a
Yep.
thing.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure I have like true strike. That's that would like allow.
Yeah. True sight, maybe something like that too.
It's called it like gives you advantage on your, well, no, okay. See, this sometimes I want spells to give me more information, and like I want that to be the like benefit, because I'm like True Strike, it helps you gain insight onto your target's defenses. So like in my brain, that's like, okay, what's it gonna do next? But
In my brain, it's like, oh, if you hit him under the armpit, it'll take more damage.
yeah, like you see like a
It's AC weakness, you
yeah, like
know?
an RPG video, or like what's that Bethesda game where you can like stop time and like target specific areas? A
Yeah.
Fallout, like
Oh,
just
damn.
select the different areas of their body.
That's right. I forgot
Yeah.
about that.
Yeah. All right, we are quickly running out of time at a fast pace. Do we agree with their base alignment? I only bring this
Yeah.
one up. We skip it sometimes because there's not much to talk about lately, but they are chaotic evil. But it says typically, which is on most stat blocks, I'm realizing now. I think I disagree. I mean, situation. I think it's got to be situation.
I think there's probably like a 10 to 5% of quicklings that just get left in an area around the wrong kind of people, i.e. like not quicklings, that maybe get like just are not quite as like, I don't think that there's gonna ever gonna be like a full like lawful good one,
No.
because I think it has like that like
Innate mischief.
when it was, yeah, it's the innate mischief when it was transformed into a quickling from what it used to be, like whether it was generations ago or not, like it still has that like pull to the like queen of air and darkness. So it's always going to have that innate mischief, but like
The Holly Fant had innate mischief, and that's a good little boy.
that's
That's
true.
not a defining factor.
Well, but like that's tied to an evil like chaos driven queen.
Yeah. I don't know
Like
why I don't know why I feel like I'm very team Quickling today.
I know.
Okay, yeah, I think obviously the concept of good and evil is subjective and situational. And the Quickling, I think, are just like extremely misunderstood because they view the world in a way that is like hard to perceive from other points of view because everything's moving quick. They have to live their life quickly. They only have 15 years, they know it, and they try to forget about it constantly because they're a cursed being. So I just think, like, if you were in a societal structure that could burn to the ground in a day or be risen again in a day, you would have a different view of the world too. Like, just saying, I don't know.
I don't think that discounts them from being evil, though.
But I mean, if they have enough of a societal structure to organize and like have families, I think there's so much potential there for for good quicklings.
Well, I think like when we talked about like evil in the sense of selfishness, they might have had some, because there's got to be other fast moving stuff in the Feywild that can
Yeah.
influence them in that like first year, especially to be maybe just ever so slightly less selfish. I
Yeah.
will say, because they're probably one of the only creatures that actually move at that pace, that yes, they're like they have to think selfishly. So there's always going to be a little bit of evilness because they have to think about themselves. Like if no one else is moving that fast, no one else
True.
is on their level. Like, so if they're, even if they don't have influence of other quicklings, then they're probably going to be like more solitary and like woe is me a little bit, because you think more on their
The last point I'll make in their defense is out of all the cursed beings we've talked about, these are the best. like as far as like the harpy, evil as fuck. The Nuparibo, yeah, evil as fuck. Like, no questions asked. The Quickling, no, cursed being, it's chaotic evil. It's sure
debatable.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, out of, for being like a creature that comes from a long line of cursed creatures, it's not doing so bad.
We didn't bring up the point that it's kind of like against murder.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, it's not against it all the way. Like, if it's a prank gone wrong and we got to kill a guy, we'll kill a guy. But, like, we don't set out to kill a guy.
Which is literally, like, all D&D players.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That's true.
Moving on. real quick, TPK your party with the Quickling. Easy.
Oh, throw 5 of them or more?
You could probably put them in a sewer system with a bunch of drainets that are only a foot and a half tall on the sides. No one can get through them. Quicklings darting in and out. Boom. Everyone's dead.
I'd use them to, like, lure a party, like, deeper into the forest, and the Quicklings would work with some, like, ambush spiders, and the spiders wouldn't know that the Quicklings are doing anything because they're too fast, but the like party would get like bled slowly with like Quickling strikes, and then all of a sudden they'd be like, oh no, because they'd be in the clutches of some serious shit.
I saw someone, one of the YouTube videos on these guys was like, put them riding giant hornets, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh yeah, that's cool.
That would be cool. I don't know why I'd do that.
I don't know why I'd do that either. The hornets, there's no way the hornets are as fast as the Quickling.
No way.
A double sting attack. Okay, how would you like to see them used in gameplay or media?
Oh, well, I don't have like a super specific one, but I definitely think it'd be fun to like see them more in their like playful, mischievous element, because when you do see them, most parties are like, fast, dangerous thing, must kill it.
Yeah.
Okay, but like, do we need to kill it? And so, like, kind of seeing what that looks like what actual pranks they're going to play, like, almost following the life of, like, a Quickling and, like a Quickling that's set on pulling the best pranks in the Feywild kind of thing.
See, cool. And in conjunction to that, I would do that by, like, having my party fall into a magical sleep and giving them, you know, like, a dream where they're like a third eye perspective, and suddenly they're like seeing two Quicklings like talk, and they're like surrounded by like other beings that are moving much slower, talking much slower, like lowing, and you're seeing these Quicklings like talk about how like they can't stand how like most of their jokes go unseen or their pranks go unnoticed, and they need to find some people that they can really fuck with, you know, like stuff like that, where you would actually get the perspective so that as a player, you're now like one on the lookout for a Quickling. Cause why do you have magical sleep that showed it to you? And two, maybe as a player, you're like, yeah, I could probably help with that. You know, it could be a fun avenue.
That'd be fun.
I would torture my party with them. I would,
of course you would.
Yeah.
I would literally set the DC for perception check at like 28, 29, like just under impossible, and have them consistently steal and prank them for an entire campaign. And then like either that, or like if I was doing like a city based campaign, have them be the big bad and you guys are trying to figure out this invisible force that's just been like causing mayhem throughout the city for like a whole like multiple sessions, entire campaign, and then like the big bad is just like this dude with 10 HP at the end.
Love that. That's so dumb. Just, I love that.
It's just like the unseen force that's wreaking havoc on a world, and it's just like a little blue dude or three of them or something. This one might be obvious, but for our final question, what class would you play if you played a Quickling? I think there's a couple obvious choices in my opinion. The rogue.
For like classic obvious,
you get like they would super crazy bonuses.
I'd do monk.
Yeah.
Monk's the other one I was thinking.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Just because, like, that would be fun as hell.
The question is, if you took, like, if you were a fighter, would you get, like, 6 attacks?
No, because you're going to be reworking their stat block. You won't get...
Yeah,
you will, but they'll all be 1d4. You know? Which, it's not bad.
1d4 plus 6?
Yeah.
6 times? Like, yeah. That's already 36 guaranteed damage.
I think you're taking the base of what it is, maybe getting a bonus to movement, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then re-rolling all of its stats because you're a player character. But
I still think that, like, even as a fighter, like, you could probably, as a quickling fighter, wear, you know, chainmail armor and balance out the disadvantage on your stealth by being a quickling.
My mind goes to necromancy or warlock. Whoa. Because it needs to expand its life somehow.
Gross.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's rude. Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, it's got 15 years. It wants a lot more than that. So it's going
to... And I mean, it's not incapable of, like, thinking that those complexities in that time span either, because they're...
Exactly. They're fast thinkers.
Crazy fast, yeah.
I would have him make a pact with a god that's going to give him a boon of a longer life. And
I feel like if you played that at my table, I would give you a racial benefit. Because, like, your brain moves so fast and you're a spellcaster that you could dual cast.
Hell yeah.
So I feel like that would be, like, a really easy, like, racial bonus, you know?
Yeah. And I know I've been talking a lot about how the quickling can be good, but if I played a quickling, his end goal would be to become a lich.
I'm going to say, is their life long enough to become a lich?
Well,
if they can make it so.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, he's one of the creatures that could be quick enough to pull off the ritual.
That's fair.
You know, because you have to have so many things going at the same time.
Yeah, because, like, you could collect all the time-sensitive stuff.
Exactly.
Like,
run across half a continent.
Moment.
So,
yeah.
Like, snatch a phase spider, blah, 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 kill a bunch of babies, all the terrible things you got to do.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I would
do. More corrupted quickling, too.
Oh, yeah, you'd probably die. I mean,
I wonder if you maybe start as, like, a the Faedark variant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Somorian overrulers.
Yeah.
And then just, like, make a pact with some kind of god of death or darkness, or maybe even the queen of air and darkness.
Yeah.
Do her a favor. Get in her good graces. Expand your lifespan. Slow down your clock by, like, a quarter so that you don't have to play with all the crazy bonuses.
Interesting.
Something. I think that's everything, guys. Yeah, it's gonna be a longer episode this week.
So should I not say my last thing?
Oh no, bring it on. Oh, did
no,
you not say okay, what you no. wanted to do? Sorry,
no, I did, but, like, there's something that I was gonna bring up earlier, but I didn't.
Bring it up.
Do you guys know there's something that's, like, adjacent to quicklings called icelings?
Oh
no.
Yes.
We're reading an honorable mention.
Yes.
Lay it on.
They like resemble them, but they're covered in ice and possess a pair of wings that resemble thin ice.
Cool.
And they have a teleportation ability and are, like, immune to cold damage. But I believe other than that, they're relatively similar to quicklings.
Pretty cool.
That's fun. Ice variant.
Well, if you guys want to hear us talk about that sometime down the line, let us know.
Definitely not enough information on it, but that's why I wanted to give it an honorable mention right now, because it literally, like it's like basically take a quickling, but you add, like, you, like, take away the, like, some, like,
I feel like ice would slow it down.
Yeah,
it's like innate. Well, that's why I think they gave it wings.
Oh,
to speed it back up. it doesn't even use them to fly, just, like, push air behind it so it can move faster.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Teleport 50 feet. So, and they're not affected by, like, ice or frozen ground, difficult terrain that's, like, cold. So I'm like, I don't know. I think it's enough.
That's a solid variant.
But it's a solid variant. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
You're going to find them in, like, the winter, like, area of the Fey Realms.
Okay.
That's all. I just wanted to make sure you guys knew about the ice link, because it sounded even like I think that Quicklings are pretty. Like, I think they're cool, pretty, like, aesthetically pleasing creatures.
Yeah.
So, like, you cover them in, like, a super, like, ghostly thin layer of ice with these, like, ghostly thin... I don't know why I picked ghostly as the adjective.
The word, yep.
There is a word for that when it comes to ice. It's called hoarfrost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like spider webby ice.
Yeah, like that, but wing. And I'm like, so that's what I think about it. So that's why I think it wouldn't slow it down as much, but...
I'm cool with that. Might have to utilize that at some point. That sounds fun.
But yeah, nice long episode for you guys today.
Yeah. Things on my desk have started to disappear. Like, I swear I just had the monster manual open. I was reading the stat block. That's gone. We had to roll a d4 for some reason earlier, and that's gone.
Oh, mischief is afoot.
Oh, boy. All right, well, I'm going to go find my stuff. Wish me luck. I have a feeling.
Good luck, guard your ankles.
I know what's up to it. Yeah. I'm wearing sandals, so.
Oh, no.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week. Don't forget to do all the stuff and send in all the things, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.